Once again, a warm welcome to the house of the Lord. We continue on with our theme of praise and thanksgiving as what we have done this morning, and I thought it is good for us to do so even in this evening hour. I have selected the text from Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 10 to 16 for our consideration this evening. And so, to understand this passage before us, we need to realize that there are two kinds of sacrifices. Sacrifices for sin and sacrifices of praise. And so we need to know the difference between the two. First of all, let us look at sacrifice for sin. A sin offering was made throughout the Old Testament period. They are required whenever anyone sinned. And in fact, we have gone through some of these things during this year of our study and meditation of God's Word. Anyone who sinned against the law or against the commandments of the Lord or the ceremonial laws, they are required to offer a sacrifice for their sin. And the type of animals required for the sacrifice depended upon their rank or their social standing, so to speak. So the high priest, as we see in Leviticus chapter 4 verse 3, will bring before God a young bullock, and for a ruler he will bring a male goat, and for a commoner he could furnish a female goat or a lamb according to the Leviticus law, and a poor person could bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to offer up as sin offering, to have their sins forgiven. And the sinner would bring the animal to the priest. Then the animal was killed after the sinner laid his hand on it. And this is significant because in the laying of the hands, it is this way that the sinner identified the offering with himself. In offering the animal, he is offering up himself and paying for his sin. That is the significance. In offering the animal, he is making an atonement for his sin. Then, of course, the priest will collect the blood, sprinkle some of it before the veil, and then put some on the horns of the incense of the altar, and then apply some to the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and the remaining blood was poured out or drained out at the base of the altar. All this you can find in the book of Leviticus. And of course, furthermore, the fat, the kidneys, the liver were all consumed on the altar. Usually the edible flesh belonged to the priest. And you see how wonderful the Lord provides for his servant. Do you know the priest always get the best part of the meat? You see, the Lord is no debtor to those who serve him. He will always give the best. Of course, I'm not implying that Sunday lunch I will have the best part of the meat. Please do not get me wrong. But I'm just trying to impress upon us the goodness and the mercy of the Lord in providing for his people, especially in providing for his servants, because you realize that the Levites or the priests, they have no land, they have no possession of the land. Alright, they have nothing. Their possession, their land is God. That's what they are set aside for. And so what is important here is that the whole offering for the priest will be eaten within the temple or the tabernacle area and must be according to very strict rules, all right, to keep the purity of the whole sacrifice. And of course, the carcasses and the entrails and any remaining flesh were taken outside the camp to be burned. I want to bring this up to you because I want to from here develop and help us to see how the Lord Jesus Christ in the end fulfilled all these sacrifices on our behalf. A sin offering of one male goat was also required at the sacred festivals like the New Moon Feast or the Passover Feast, the Feast of the Weeks, and the Feast of Trumpet, the Day of Atonement. All these required sacrifices to the Lord, and it has great significance for the people of Israel. It is an object lesson that God uses to impress upon the children of Israel. So day after day, feast Day after feast day, year after year, all these sacrifices was, for sin were offered up in Israel. And blood and gore and fire and smoke, all that on account of sin, is because of sin. And this whole sacrificial system instituted of God is a fact of life for the Israelites. Then come Good Friday, so to speak, or Easter, the cross and the grave of Christ, you may like to put it that way. On that day, Christ, the Lord Jesus himself, offered up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This we see in Ephesians 5:2. Jesus offered himself as a sin offering to God. And we are reminded of that sacrifice whenever you and I come before the Lord's table. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the last sacrifice for sin. The Israelites go through all that year in, year out. And it is pointing us finally to that ultimate sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin once for all. Because of Christ, no further sacrifice is required ever again to all eternity. This we see in Hebrews chapter 13, which we have just read from verses 11 to 12. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duty again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But then, when this high priest, our high priest, the Lord Jesus, in verse 12 we read, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice for sin you and I need. And we all know that. But it is important for us to be reminded of this and to get a deeper understanding of this, of what the Lord has done. Because this will eventually tie in with our sacrifice of praise. Jesus fulfilled all the law demanded of God in terms of sin and sacrifice. Our scripture text, which we have read from verses 11 to 12, tells us that. The high priest then carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. That is the word without the camp. It's outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city to make the people holy through his own blood. Jesus is our sacrifice for sin. The cross of Christ, we can never underestimate its importance. It is the only ladder high enough to reach heaven's gate. The cross is the only ladder you and I need, which is high enough to reach heaven's gate. It is only by means of the cross that we can be forgiven and entered into the presence of God. I want to illustrate this further by telling you this story that I come across. A police officer was patrolling one night in a northern England city some years ago, and when he heard a cry, turning toward that direction, he saw the shadows of a little boy sitting on a doorstep. And with tears rolling down his cheek, the child cried and said, "I'm lost. Take me home." And so this police officer began to name the streets after streets, trying to help this little boy to remember where he lived. But when all that failed, that little boy could not remember any of those streets. And when all that failed, the police officer repeated the names of those shops, the hotels around that area. But all of this did not help, without success. Then the police officer remembered something. In the center of that city was a well-known church, which with a large white cross towering high above all these surrounding landscape. So the police officer pointed to it and said, "Do you live anywhere near there? Near the church? Near this cross where you can see?" Wow, the boy's face suddenly brightened up. He said, "Yes! Take me to the cross I can find my way home from there. What I'm trying to impress upon us, brothers and sisters, when we come to the cross, we can always find our way home. The only way home to our Heavenly Father is through the cross. And I want to bring this out to us because next we come to see the sacrifice of praise. Besides sacrifices for sin, there are also sacrifices of praise. Do you know that that is also instituted in the ceremonial law? Not just for worship. Do you know that the children of Israel are to offer up sacrifices of praise in the temple, in the tabernacle, continuously, without stopping? These sacrifices are voluntary and represent complete devotion and surrender to God. They arise out of a spirit of thankfulness and gratitude for God's manifold blessings and grace. These sacrifices were also instituted, as I said, and frequently offered up in the Old Testament period. Do you know they have the daily morning sacrifice, for instance? That sacrifice was a praise offering in which the Israelite worshipper would offer up the fruits of the flock, the field, or the wine. Unlike the sin offerings, the entire sacrifice was meant to be consumed as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Exodus 29:25 tells us that. Of thanksgiving, it is supposed to be offered up as a sweet savour sacrifice that will ascend to the throne of God, and God will smell that aroma, as it were. And that is required and instituted of that. They are to do that in thanksgiving. There were also many other rules and regulations for the sacrifices of praise. Animals had to be killed on the north side of the altar, according to Leviticus 1:3-5. Birds were simply handed to the priest, who will rank off its head, and then the priest collected the blood and presented it before the Lord and sprinkled it around the altar. The flesh was also dissected, unclean parts were washed, and all the pieces have to be carefully arranged on the altar. The entire offering of praise had to be consumed, so that the priest had to make sure that there was sufficient wood for the fire. Also, the priest has to wear properly attired to carry out that sacrifice. Unlike the sacrifice for sin, the sacrifice of praise did not end with suffering and death of Christ. Rather, this is one sacrifice that rises to God for all time. Our text says, "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually." Verse 15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The sacrifice of praise must go on all the time. It must never end. It must never be interrupted. Even in heaven and in the new heaven and in the new earth, we will find this sacrifice of praise. In fact, you will read that the angels, and together with the elders in Revelation, they all bow down in worship. And what do? They sing and praise the Lord. That's what will be our main occupation when you and I reach heaven's shore. Our text in verse 13, or rather Hebrews chapter 13, tells us why this sacrifice never ends. Because, as I said before, it ties in the sacrifice for sin mentioned in verses 11 to 14 of Hebrews 13 to the sacrifice of praise mentioned in verse 15. It does so by means of the word therefore. It says, "By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." Jesus is our sacrifice of sin for sin. Therefore, let us offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Because of what the Lord Jesus has done for you and me on the cross, now we have every reason to offer up our worship or our praise to God. People saved by the Lord Jesus, we who are born again, in other words, we are or we should never be tired of bringing to God a sacrifice of praise. And especially so for you and me as we contemplate and spend a little time perhaps before the end of this year to look back how the Lord has led you and I through during this year. Through bad times, through good times, to times which we are filled with so many uncertainties and challenges, but yet the Lord has proven Himself to be faithful, isn't it? In seeing us through, in bringing us across troublous times and across happy times. As He promised us in Isaiah, "When thou goest through the flood, I will be with thee. Through the fire, I am with you." And so the Lord has been doing that, isn't it? We can go as far as to say that the people of God did not really learn how to offer a sacrifice of praise until after the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it? The people of God, you see, make a sacrifice of praise because of the sacrifice of sin upon the cross. Or to tie in with our celebration each time when we come before the Lord's table, we have been reminded and assured that Jesus is the sacrifice of sin for sin. Therefore, let us offer up to God our sacrifice of praise. Our text also tells us that this sacrifice is to be done, what? Through Him, through the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, as I mentioned before, there are many do's and don'ts in connection with the sacrifice of praise. The New Testament also has a rule. The New Testament also has the rule. The basic and all-inclusive rule is this: sacrifices of praise must be offered up to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just as it is only through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we can reach heaven, same when we render up our praise to God, it is only through Him, through Jesus Christ. This means the sacrifices of praise must come from those who what? Know the Lord and love the Lord. Those that confess His name. These are the people who through Christ will offer up their sacrifices of praise to God because they know the Savior. They love the Savior. Through Jesus Christ, this also means that the sacrifices of praise must come because of what Jesus has done as a sin offering. That is the second reason. Thirdly, Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Why? This means also the sacrifices of praise are acceptable to God only because Jesus Christ, and not because of the purity or the zeal or the devotion of you and me, the giver. For do not forget, even the best of what we can do or offer up to God is imperfect and stained with sin. It is only when we offer up our sacrifices of praise through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, that is acceptable to God. Thirdly, right now, we want to touch on in verse 15, the last part, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. So I suggest that it is the fruit of our lips, do good and share with others. This is the next part of our study concerning these sacrifices of praise. Jesus is our sacrifice for sin. Therefore, let us offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. And again, in the Lord's Supper, as I said, we have been reminded and assured that Jesus died for our sins. Therefore, we have every reason to offer up a sacrifice of praise. But what is this sacrifice of praise? We are to continue to offer up to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Hebrews mentioned three things for us here.
How do we offer up our sacrifices of praise? Firstly, it is the fruit of our lips. You can see in verse 15. It is the fruits of our lips. This means using our mouths or our lips to praise the Lord. There should be thousands of tongues, as this hymn writer also reminds us, isn't it? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing the praise of the Lord, to sing of our great Redeemer's praise. But oftentimes we do not use our tongue, that one tongue that the Lord gave us. Of course, we all also realize that we do not only praise the Lord with our lips or with our mouth. For if that is the case, then we are only hypocrites, because we only praise the Lord with our lips, with our mouth. We must also praise God, and far more importantly, we must also praise the Lord with our lives as well. Or, as the song puts it, not for the lips. Sorry. Or, as the song puts it, not for the lips of praise alone, or even the praising heart, I ask, but for a life made up of praise in every part. Not for the lips of praise alone, or even the praising heart, I ask, but for a life made up of praise in every part. But again, if you are asking for a life made up of praise, if you and I request for that, we certainly want to offer our praise with our lips too. An impressive example of this offering up our sacrifice of praise with our lives, I want to give you one good example, is one of the early church fathers by the name of John Chrysostom, I think. He was persecuted and driven to exile by the enemies because they are angry of him for his preaching. His final words is this: glory to God for all things, despite of all this suffering. His words and his life were a sacrifice of praise because of Christ's sacrifice for sin. I can also think of another example. He is a missionary by the name of Alan Gardiner. Alan Gardiner experienced many physical difficulties and hardship throughout his service to the Savior. Despite his many troubles, he said, "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me." In 1851, at the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving on a remote island at the southern tip of South America. When his body was found, his diary lay nearby. It bore the record of hunger, thirst, wounds, and loneliness. The last entry in his little book showed the struggle of his shaking hand as he tried to write legibly. It reads, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God." Can we say that when we go through suffering, thirst, hunger, loneliness? Can we, like him, say, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God"? Think of that. No words of complaint. No grumbling. No murmuring. Just praise for God's goodness. His words and his life too were a sacrifice of praise because of Christ's sacrifice for sin. You see that? And all of us should have that in us. As we look unto the Lord, our Shepherd, our Savior, He who has offered up the ultimate sacrifice for us, should invoke, should move us, should stir us in return, in response, to offer up unto our Lord daily sacrifices of praise. The fruit of our lips that confess His name. How the Lord loves this sacrifice of praise. He loves this more than burnt offering, whatever offering, drink offering we can offer up. He loved this more than thousands of rams, more than 10,000 rivers of oil, as Micah 6:7 tells us. Simply going through the motion of worship is not acceptable to God. He demands acceptable worship according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. I read to you, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably, notice the word, with reverence and godly fear. With reverence and godly fear. So our praise to God is to be from the heart and offered up in love. It is to be sincere and real. I want us to listen to the words of Hosea, the prophet who says this in Hosea chapter 6 verse 6. The Lord said through the prophet, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice." We should offer up not only our lips of praise, but our lives in praise to God. The Lord loves our thanksgiving and praise. He loves it when our lips and our mouth are used to confess and glorify His name. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Verse 16. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:16. Jesus is our sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, let us offer to God our sacrifice of praise. We have been reminded and assured that Jesus died for our sin. Therefore, we have every reason and every purpose to offer up our sacrifice of praise. The second thing that is required here is this. We should not forget to do good. Verse 16. To do good, this sacrifice of praise must always start with our own families. If we cannot do good to those closest to us, then there is something seriously wrong, isn't it, with our hearts. Paul has this to say in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 4 and 8. Please turn to 1 Timothy 4 very quickly. Chapter 5, verses 4. Or verse 4 and 8. But if any widow have children or nephew, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. And verse 8, if any provide not for his own, or for his family that is, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And in verse 16, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And so we see here that we ought to do good first to our own family, and then after that we move a little further. When it comes to doing good, our next priority is after our own family, is to our fellow believers. Again, I think of Paul, what Paul says in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Lastly, of course, we want to do good to all men that is outside the church. We want to do good to our family members and loved ones, to our fellow believers, and then to all people, because Christ hath made himself a sacrifice for sin. And I want to end with this story again of this crippled boy who was once hurrying to catch a train. Carrying gifts under his arm, this crippled boy, he was struggling with his crutches. Suddenly a man bumped into him, knocking his parcels in all directions. Then the man paused and scolded the boy for getting in his way. Then came another gentleman, seeing the youngster's distress, quickly helped him pick up the scattered leaves and even slip a dollar bill into his pocket, saying, "I'm sorry, I hope this makes up for your trouble." The child, who couldn't remember being shown such kindness before, called after the man, "Mister, thank you. And sir, are you Jesus?" "No," replied the man, "but I'm one of his followers." God is pleased when, as our sacrifice of praise, we do good. As our sacrifice of praise, the other area or the other aspect is to do good. First, to our own family. Second, to our fellow believers. And thirdly, to all men. Let us therefore offer up our sacrifice of praise, not only with our lips, but practically in our lives or by our lives. We have been reminded of that, and so therefore, let us do that. And the third thing that is required of us in our offering up of sacrifices of praise is that we share with others. And then, if you look at Hebrews again, chapter 13, that we do good and to communicate, forget not. That is to share with others. The word for share here is the Greek word koinonia. It means loving fellowship. God is pleased when we include others in our conversation, in our conduct, in our dealing with others. We invite others. We practice the gift of hospitality. God is pleased when we extend our right hand of fellowship to new members of the church, to visitors who come to us, and to others. We ought to communicate or to share with others the goodness of the Lord. And this is one other aspect for sacrifices of praise to the Lord. Sacrifices for sin, sacrifices of praise. That is the two kinds of sacrifices we see in the Bible. Jesus is our sacrifice for sin. Now, in response, as God's people, we are to make a sacrifice of praise. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for such a privilege and a blessing, not only to be Your child, not only to be Your redeemed people, and You have also given us such a joy to communicate good to others, to do good, and not only to offer up to You our lips of praise and thanksgiving, but also we ought to offer up to You our praise and thanksgiving by our lives. We ask that You will help us, for oftentimes we are weak, and oftentimes we wander away and we do not seek to do Your will and to keep Your commandments. We pray that You will help us, that we may wholly follow after Thee. So, Lord, grant us a grateful heart as we approach the end of this year. Help us to return thanks. Help us not to take You for granted, to take all Thy goodness and Thy blessings both great and small, both seen and unseen. Help us to be thankful evermore. So, Lord, we pray that You will help us in response to offer up to You our sacrifices of praise daily in our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.